Witches. I am Sonia Menadics. Oh, dear God. Right, let's just get this straight. I'm really nervous. Really, really nervous. I sort of came here and I kind of looked around. I was like, oh, my God, I don't know anyone. But, you know, because this isn't a regular meeting of mine. And, you know, and I thought, oh, God, if only I knew people who were here, then it'd be all right. And then, you know, people I knew, people who I know sort of came in and gave me hugs. And like, I was like, no, there's people I know here, you know. I just have this thing in my head that just says that, you know, for some reason this is some kind of battle that I've got to take on, that people aren't going to like me, and that somehow I need to kind of like fight my way through life, especially when I get nervous and frightened, and actually, you know, just to pray basically and let go. And when I came in, praying was not a suggestion that I warmed to immediately, you could say. And actually, you know, now what I've just been doing in my head is like, all day really, is trying not to let myself think and plan the chair and just like, just kind of handing it over and going, do you know what, you know, universe, whatever, you know, I really, really cannot do this, you know, thank you for your chair, Andrew, you know, and talking about just not being able to do life, you know, without each other and without NA and, you know, without some sort of concept of a higher power to guide me through everything. Like, you know, I am completely flummoxed and lost and you know, and a bit of an emotional cripple. You know, so really, you know, and I was just sort of thinking, I was just thinking how much I bloomin' love NA, you know, how much I really, really have got to thank NA for. You know, it's like everything in my life is, you know, today is a result of NA. You know, I came in with, you know, absolutely sod all. You know, I literally, you know, sort of came in a some fella's ripped hoodie and like bad smell and, you know, and I know it's not about substance, but, you know, like, I came in just, like, you know, my bag didn't even, it, you know, it was just full of syringes, you know, it didn't have any, there was nothing nice about, you know, about my life at all, and, you know, and I'd lost all contact with family, and, you know, my life was a mess, and, yeah, and I, you know, and I decided quite early on that I really wanted this, that this time round I really wanted recovery. And but yeah, like, I realised that I've got quite a long time to talk, so like, I'll just sort of leap about a bit. But I grew up, you know, up north in this little town, and it was a little town, I live with my mum, dad, and they were both quite sort of, you know, they're both a bit preoccupied with their own stuff. And, you know, I sort of look back now and I think that my mum was an addict. But she's not around anymore, so she can't sort of tell me either way. But you know, and my dad was sort of quite distracted with it, you know, he's like a womanising and whatnot. And you know, and they did love me, absolutely, of course they loved me, like, hands down. But you know, the way that they showed it, I wasn't receptive to, and I expected them to be sort of loving in a different way. Funny, I want to try and remember your childhood, isn't it? It's a little bit cloudy, but you know, I did, you know, I don't know if I felt these feelings predominantly or if they were just feelings I really blooming struggled with, but I know that fear and insecurity and loneliness were, you know, to me they felt like they were pretty heavily there when I was little a lot, and you know, and my life sort of felt like you know, at school and with friends and things, it felt like, you know, a kind of desperate struggle between like absolutely shutting down and just being frozen with not being able to say anything, to like, you know, like that thing of, you know, what I had when I came here of, you know, I've got a battle, the battle's on, and I've got to style it out, and I've got to make, like, you know, like I'm happy and like I can do this kind of relationship conversation thing, you know, and actually I just felt like totally ill-equipped and totally full of shame and totally unable to express it, and you know, and it was like this self-hate was there, but I was so ashamed of it, you know, I was so afraid to admit it. So like, not only did I blimmin' hate myself, but I then hated myself for hating myself, you know. So I was just compounding it and you know, and shutting down more and more and more. And you know, and as a bit of a lunatic at school, you know, I'd sort of act out a lot, being you know, causing trouble, and then I'd be a complete swat, you know. But it was all about trying to impress and trying to get love and acknowledgement, and you know, someone to kind of go, oh, there she is, or like, well, it's on, you know. and you know, and that behaviour also came out in food as well. You know, I'd sort of go from eating a lot to starving myself, and you know, and you know, and I was quite bonkers from early on. And like you said, Andrew, you know, I don't, you know, there's no way of knowing, you know, I can't even remember a lot of things that happened in my childhood, no matter knowing where addiction started. You know, it's like, I know that my behaviour was quite extreme and was, and were, you know, already at that age was about, you know, about sort of searching for this love. You know, but, you know, does that make me an addict? You know, just what happened, you know, you can't know. Just what I do know is that I need to be here, and that now classifying myself as an addict, it just works. There's no point in me even bloody questioning it. It works, because it means then that I can apply a programme and move forward from here on in. But yeah, so... You know, when, you know, so being little felt like a bit of a struggle, and so sort of things went on at home. Like, I found out like quite big family secrets, and you know, you know, and my mum, you know, I didn't ever really form any sort of relationship with my mum. She was absolutely gone, and so my dad brought me up a lot, and he was very angry and violent and quite like emotionally abusive, and I just internalised all that, you know. I internalised that, and I just went into hating myself. And I went into hating my dad, you know, with an absolute vicious vengeance. Like, and when I hit teens, that just went, you know, all the ignition went on, and I, you know, and I just couldn't stand, you know, that the anger was there towards him. And I found drugs quite early on, and you know, and I was off. Yeah, I think just as soon as like hormones hit me and like I could start thinking for myself, you know, it was that, you know. It was like, you know, I heard this rumour about drugs, someone was telling me about acid, you know, and I must have been, yeah, I can't, you know, sort of about 11 or something. I just remember thinking, oh my God, I want to do that, you know. It was just like immediately, and then I was out and I was hunting for it, you know. There was no kind of like, oh, the drug pushes made me take it, you know. It was like, it really, you know, did come from me, and Yeah, so I sort of went out and sought it, and I, you know, and I can remember like the first time I got drunk, and it was at a mate of ours' house down the road, and their parents had gone away and the girl was a bit older, and you know, and there was a few of them, and we had a drink, and they had a little swig and a little tipple. It was all of our first time. They had a little swig and a tipple. And like, even that first time, that was me, the whole bottle. You know, I was running around the house like a lunatic, and I just thought, you know, I don't even know if I thought it consciously. It was just like, this is mine, you know, this is my thing, this is mine, this is my thing, and this is my friend, you know. And you know, and then I soon discovered weed and you know, and then acid and speed and I, you know, my behaviour was like well off key. You know, I come from a little town on the edge of the Peak District, you know, and like everyone knows each other's business, you know, like it's proper, everyone just lives next door to their grands and their aunties and all that. And you know, and I was off joyriding and just creating absolute havoc, and like other parents would have meetings like how to stop us all hanging out, but I got caught joyriding one time, and my mum and dad said, right, okay, this isn't working, obviously. And they were just at an absolute loss and didn't know what to do. And you know, and they said, well, why don't you move into a shed in the garden? And I was like, okay, bloody right. And you know, but I was still quite young, because I can remember sort of when I moved in, it was like, oh, you know, a bit like a sort of setting up your Wendy house, you know, have tea and kettle and cups, and within a week, you know, we're shoving the kettle with mushrooms and, you know, and bongs and, like, you know, and the whole lot, and every, you know, and all the local kids came round, and we all just got wasted in there, basically. And it was amazing to start with, but then it became quite difficult, and I was just using absolutely 24/7 then, and like paranoid, and you know, I'll just be frank, like, you know, just sleeping with loads of people, and you know, and people were just round 24/7. People would come round and, you know, selling, and they'd come round and they'd do their thing, and then they'd go home, and you know, and actually, you know, this period of my life was like really 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 bloody, actually, like traumatic. And you know, and I can remember trying then to go back into the family home, and you know, and getting shut out, and you know, I really felt like I just had nowhere to turn. And I'll just say that my story is obviously like not everyone's story, and you know, the outside stuff, you know, might be different, but what I do hope is that you know, that people can identify with the difficulty of struggling with feelings, and you know, and not being able to express them, and just feeling absolutely on your own. And so I decided that my solution to all this was to get as far away from Congleton as possible. And so, you know, so I just shot down south, and you know, my using then were, you know, I was just like a lunatic, really frantic, like searching around, you know, different drugs, different people, different scenes, doing a lot of raving and being on and off traveller sites. You know, I remember like the first time going to a traveller site, it's just like, yes. You know, like I kind of told myself, like, yes, I'm going to go like protesting and save cheese and stuff, and actually it was like, yes, I can get pissed at 8 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, and I can get wasted all day, and everyone, I just think it's normal, and you know, so I didn't actually really do much like earth saving at all. But but yeah, and you know, and looking back, like I had no idea about my vulnerability. I had no idea, you know, what I was putting myself through. I told myself that because I didn't speak to my mum and dad and my sister, that meant that I wasn't hurting them, you know, when actually my sister's quite a lot younger than me, and I'd spent, you know, a good 10 years sort of bringing her up, and you know, and she saw me as a mum, and so me just going bye, you know, she like grieved quite a lot, and you know, and obviously my mum loved me, she obviously did her, you know, get worried her awfully, and yeah, and I, you know, and quite quickly the drugs that I had been using were just making me feel awful, and I found, you know, and I found drugs that you know, we're a little bit more hectic, and which required a little bit more commitment, but you know, they sort of hit the spot and did the trick, and I you know, and I was thinking earlier, like when I was trying not to think about what I was going to share about, I was thinking like the first time I used like heroin, you know, I injected it, and it's just like, you know, what is that about, that just that all out like hell bent obliteration, you know, I really do not care about myself one bit, you know, and you know, just anything to get out myself, and you know, and for quite a few years there, you know, I was sort of hanging on to this belief that everything was ace and it was great, and you know, drinking a little special brew and going, you know, and sort of laughing at people going to work and, you know, and all that stuff, and you know, and then on the quieter moments when I was withdrawing, you know, just being like, oh my god, how has my life got to this, what the hell, you know, and I was sort of street homeless from about the age of 21, I think, and you know, and so it involved a lot of working streets and begging and stuff, you know, and I can just you know, it like raining and you're wired and pranged and paranoid, you know, and just trying to earn some money, and you know, and I just remember, you know, like looking out across the street at people walking down the street, and they'd just be like, you know, just turning to each other and talking, you know, and the other person would reply and they'd laugh and then they'd sort of go on their merry way, and you know, and it was just like, oh my god, what is that? How do you do that? You know, like what is it with me that I just can't do it? And I, you know, really felt like there was just something deeply wrong with me. And even the other people I used with, you'd know, I could not talk to them about that stuff. You know, so I even thought that they were somehow like kind of got this thing, this equipment that I just didn't have. Yeah, so quite rapidly, obviously, like I wasn't washing a great deal, and you know, and I, you know, and just sleeping wherever, and you know, and absolutely, you know, my one thing in my day was to use, you know, it was just like the whole rest of the world just went, you know, it was just like tunnel. I am gonna use. And I'm going to get the money for it, and I don't care how I'm going to do it, but I'm bloody going to do it, you know, and you know, whatever came in my way, you know, it was, you could just do one, right? And And I sort of had little half-hearted attempts to stop using, and you know, I'd give up, but I, you know, for a few days or whatever, I'd go and do a clock at someone's house. But I've heard it said in rooms, like, always telling myself, you know, if I could just give up, like, this one drug, that, you know, then I could just crack on just like everybody else and just spend my life at a rave and, like, you know, I'd be normal. but I never even managed to do that, you know. I was just really, you know, I was just sort of lurched about a lot. Like, you know, like I said, hey, that sort of looking for love thing from when I was little, you know, I was doing it as an adult, just sort of lurching about looking for it, but in a bit more of an extreme way, you know, and causing, like, a lot more damage with it. And you know, and I wasn't really very good at earning money in any particular, like, amazing way. And, you know, I went to prison a few times, but not, you know, not really for any stretch of time. You know, I was just sort of a bit of a lurcher. I just wanted to use, you know, whatever. Just wanted to use, and it, you know. But it really wasn't until I got pregnant with my son that it suddenly then dawned on me, like, that actually, I can't stop here. Like, you know, no matter how much I want to, I can't. And, you know, and I'd never heard of powerlessness. I didn't know anything about that. And I just knew that I just kind of got this taste of that I couldn't stop. And, you know, when my son was born addicted, and, you know, and that was really traumatic, you know, and awful, and, you know, and I had a whole lot of shame, and I still couldn't give up, you know. And then he got threatened to be taken off me, and, you know, I was having hair strand tests, and I still couldn't give up, you know. And the amount that I love my son, oh my god, you know, you just cannot possibly put into words that. And there was no way I could stop for my son, absolutely no way, you know. And eventually he did get taken off me, and, you know, and rightly so. And he went to live with his dad, and you know, my solution to it was to use even more. You know, like, no ability to consider anyone else's feelings or life at all. You know, like, absolutely consumed with just myself and my own problems and the poor me, and, you know, and I can't cope with these feelings, you know, and so just shoveling more and more down my neck. And it eventually, it just really got to a point where, no matter how much I used, I could not quell those feelings. You know, that desperation was just absolutely spilling out of me. And I was fortunate enough to get picked up and shipped off to treatment. And I know loads of people that get into recovery just through the rooms, but like, I was introduced to NA in recovery, in treatment, and you know, and I didn't like the idea that I was going to have to a day at the time do this for significant part of the foreseeable future. I was just like, that looks like hard work. No thanks. But I did have it in me that no matter what, actually, no matter what, I wanted to stay clean. And you know, and I was sort of told, you know, that to, just reminded of the lengths that I would go to use, and it, you know, and it was just about applying those lengths to my recovery. And you know, and we were just chatting a bit before about being sort of, you know, a bit frantic early days, and you know, and I was quite, you know, I was quite full on with it, and I, you know, I'd sort of panic if I was late for a meeting, and you know, and I just have to share, you know, but I just like try to listen, basically, just try to listen and do the suggested things, and I tell you, like, when throughout my entire life, you, like, I have not ever remotely wanted to, you know, anyone telling me what to do, and it's not happening, you know. So, and actually, the job that even now that I work in, yeah, I work for myself, you know, the idea of working for anyone, it's just, you know, I'm not turning up if you're going to be there telling me to do it, you know, so I still have that in me. But you know, when it came to NA, you know, really, as much as I could, just tried to do the suggested things, which was get a sponsor, work the steps, do service, and do lots of meetings, and also to share honestly, and you know, and to try to reach out to people, and to push to, like, you know, because when I came in, I was absolutely shell shocked. You know, I was just like, oh my God, life, don't look at me, they're not looking at me. You know, it was just like, it was awful. And so, you know, just sort of following the suggestion of, you know, just sort of gently pushing myself out of my comfort zone and trying new things, but at the same time, just really trying to give myself, you know, a whole lot of love and be gentle and easy on myself, which did, you know, which is still like a work in progress. And just, you know, that the love that I was always desperately searching for, and, you know, and that I think that I found in, particularly in, you know, in certain substances, you know, that just made me feel all warm and loved, you know. And that actually it's been about me giving that love to myself. And, you know, and when I can't do it, coming to meetings and doing it and doing things like going to meetings regularly. It took me a long time to get a home group to go to any particular meeting regularly, just because of that fear of, you know, of intimacy and but like now, you know, if I need a big hug, you know, I go to a meeting that I know is going to have people in it who I know, and who are going to listen to me. You know, it's magic what goes on here. You know, we all get given the space to talk and to be listened to and to be heard and to be respected for that and to be hugged for that. No matter what, you know, to give each other that kind of acceptance. It's, you know, it's absolutely magic. And, you know, and it's something I really think that, you know, like, don't like to speak for other people, but I think we really all need, you know, and going through the steps, you know, has been a process of getting to a place of some level of self-acceptance, you know, to really kind of go, it's okay, you know, it's okay that I do things that are a bit, yeah, I do things that are like, that I'm not proud of sometimes, and you know, and I say things and I'm just like, oh. You know, and or like I get really controlling with my son, and I'm just like, and then I let go, and it's like, oh God, why didn't I do that ages ago? You know, but yeah, so just and but it's also like within that, acknowledging my assets, and you know, and actually, I really can say that I do have, you know, quite a lot of skills and talents and assets, and I, you know, and I really do. You know, to varying, to, you know, depending on the day, but, you know, I really, really do, like, think I'm pretty all right, you know, like, I think, you know, when I sit back and I look at my life and I kind of go, cop, the job that I do is pretty cool, you know. I'm dead proud of that, you know, and that I turn up, you know. My son went to live with his dad, and that's been quite a journey in recovery of turning it up, doing the next right thing, applying what I've learned in NA, handing the results over, you know, trying to, and it was really painful to start with, because my son didn't know me, and you know, and he didn't want to. He was just like, "Who are you?" You know, I've just taken him and my sister and his cousin to Centre Park for the weekend, you know, and we were just hugging and laughing and actually just today, because he's got his SATs coming up, and it's just kind of life presenting new challenges. And obviously he lives with his dad Monday to Friday, but he comes to me weekends and some holidays and things. But what I want to do is, you know, is want to sort of march in, pin him down, like make it, you know, feed him his SAT books and like, you know, just like lock him up until he's passed, like the grade A star, you know. But you know, what I did do was kind of just had this really loving chat with his dad, and to say, you know, how much I appreciated him as a dad, and, you know, that I don't know how to do this. I don't know, you know, I've not had a kid before. I don't know what you're supposed to do with SATs, you know, and actually to kind of admit that actually I don't know, and maybe we can work through this together, you know, and that's something that I've really, really learnt in NA. You know, we all kind of sit here and go, I don't know, and we sort of muddle through it together, And you know, and I've formed some, you know, just some absolutely priceless, incredible relationships in NA. You know, most of my friends are in NA, and I care about them very, very deeply, lots of them, and so, cool, thank you. And and having fun in life, you know, like I come to meetings, I do recovery, I absolutely, you know, no matter what, I put NA first. You know, if I keep NA central in my life, everything else just clicks into place. You know, if I do my best with it, then the rest of it's all right. But also, you know, then littering my life with all sorts of other colourful things, and my life really, really is like really rich. And you know, so I in NA I found the courage to follow. You know, I never dared admit when I was little that I even had dreams. You know, but I found the courage to follow my dreams and to, you know, to kind of go all out there and pursue it. And you know, and I've muddled through and learnt how to be a mum by phoning people up, particularly other women, you know, just sharing experiences and then last not Christmas just gone, but the Christmas before, I got diagnosed with cancer. And And that was when I really, really kind of got a taste for what NA can give, you know, that actually it's quite extraordinary. And you know, and other people out in the world, you know, no matter how well they look like they do in life, they don't have what we have here, you know. And I decided, you know, that actually what I was going to do, no matter what, I was going to keep this central. And I got service positions that were you know, a little bit challenging. And I went, you know what, I'm just going to go for this and reach out for help. And, you know, and as a result of that, no matter what, keeping myself in the middle, you know, that I was... You know, I had to take all sorts of opiates and Valium and, you know, and all the rest of it, all the things that I love, and I did go through periods of having codeine linked to in my cupboard and, you know, and obsessing quite a lot, but just staying honest and reaching out and chatting and, you know, and it turns out that I had to basically call on NA to do everything for me at times. You know, that there was one time when I'd spent 2 weeks in bed and people from NA were round constantly, you know, stayed overnight, shopping, cooking, you know, people came round to have like impromptu meetings, came up to hospital, I don't know how you do it without it. You know, that people drew up routers and, you know, it was beautiful. And, you know, and when I first walked in through the door, I the idea that someone would like me just for being me was such an alien concept, you know, that... Like when people say at the start of meetings, you know, if you're a newcomer, welcome. And like really, really, if you're a newcomer, welcome. But like when I was a newcomer, I never thought they were actually talking to me. You know, it was just like, you know, I was just so full of just insecurity and fear. And, you know, and I've developed a relationship with a higher power. I don't particularly roll with the word God, great, you know, with great enthusiasm, but I really do, you know, I have a big meditation practice every morning, and I really, really do try living by spiritual principles, you know, and just to go at life with love. And whenever I get really fed up and slip into worrying, I try to have a little word in my head and just to go, you know, just to go, no, it's all right. Just for today, right here, right now, it's okay. You know, I'm in NA, we've got each other, it's all right. Yeah, and I'll leave it there. Thank you.